Broadcasting from the super secret underground bunker at World Headquarters, this is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Stand by. Accessing primary security protocols. Your access has been approved. Welcome to Level 11P7.
You didn't watch that video, did you?
No.
No soup for you!
It's okay, I got coffee. Welcome to Level 11P7. This is our episode 64. With me tonight in the bunker is on my right. To my right, that's you.
You should get the correct hands going.
Yeah, I did. I had to check
You forgot my name, didn't you?
No. You're supposed to introduce yourself. Oh, I'm supposed to introduce you. I'm sorry.
I'm
Tim
Timothy
Harvey.
Hello.
Dan Hanley is on my further right.
Hello. Now, we're not going to get political on that, no.
No.
Although,
and
right.
Jason Hunt is sort of catty corner-ish in front-ish.
Yes. And the training wheels have come off.
Already. It's a goner. Hey, if you want to leave us a comment or tell us what we're doing right or wrong or tell us how our mic levels are tonight, you can call us at 573-42-SCI-FI. Or you can leave us an email at level11t7@scififorme.com. And level 11t7 is all the numbers.
All things. Spelled out.
So, all spelled out.
Yes. Yeah.
Very long, very long. Just
and the reason we ask for this is because we're trying to refine and get better at what we do with all of this stuff. So we do value your feedback. We read all of the emails. We listen to the messages. All of the comments that you leave us on social media. And so that information that we get from you helps us do what we do better.
That informs how we need to tweak and what we're going to do, because we really are trying to get better. We're trying to improve every day.
And it gets more people involved in the conversation.
There you go.
Last week's conversation
was
so far off the rails.
Bizarro.
It was fun, though.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, it's interesting that the feed burner numbers for last week's episode, and the feed burner is pretty much the only statistic we have for any kind of number of listeners for these shows, even though I'm told they're completely inaccurate and they don't measure anything that iTunes is doing. So if you listen to us through iTunes,
so it means
we don't
nothing.
Know.
It's kind right, of like exactly. Whose it's, line is it anyway? It's
a drop us a line and let us know you're listening through iTunes.
Yeah, it's a piece of our audience. So looking at those numbers, though, last week's episode was better performance-wise than any other episode we had.
Must have been the comedy factor.
Well, I think it was that. I think it was the fact that I wasn't on it.
There were so many other people.
I don't know if there's a correlation between going off the rails and the numbers going higher for this show, but
it certainly was not me opening the show.
Yeah, okay, correlation is not causation.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm going to try to bring us back to the show a little bit. Tonight's episode, the title was...
We digress.
Devils you know.
Yeah, and we are going to try to digress a little bit less.
A little less.
Yeah, a little bit.
And
what
do you think of the title? What do you think of the title, Devils You Know?
It's a neat title.
Yeah.
Well, it's like any other episode. The meaning, it's got layered meanings.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually done a pretty good job of making that
The nuance.
Yes, the nuance in the whole thing of finding a title that has more than one meaning.
Yeah.
Meaning.
It's much less awkward than the title was last week.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. How did you even say that?
I did my best attempt.
A wanted, parenthetical, in hue, parenthetical,
yeah.
Man.
It's yes. Written, yeah. Yeah. It works. It's not something you say.
Well, it's something that... reads better in print than it speaks. It's
right.
Harder to say
right.
than you can. I mean, when you look at it, you can read it, but it's harder to read out loud. Yeah.
Which they have never actually done in the course of the show is actually go, and tonight's episode is called.
You know what I miss? I miss title sequences. I miss the episode titles, because episodes still have titles.
Sure.
You just don't know what they are unless you go online.
We don't know where they are. Or get them on Netflix, and then you know.
Right.
Oh, that's what this is.
Yeah. Or look at it later.
Well, you still get them. It's just a lot of these shows, they've realized that that's 30 seconds of story.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah, but you look at Star Trek. You know, any of the Star Trek episodes, the story was going on while they're rolling. You know, the title, the episode title, and the writing credits and all that.
You've also got Doctor Who nowadays that still follows that, and they even show the title of the episode.
Yeah, and they're the only ones. They're the only one.
Well, but that's a structure thing too, and you get a lot with BBC programming or just British programming anyway. They are again. You come back to the fact that there's a lot of theatrical background to the whole thing. I mean, and there are specific guidelines. They have very strict guidelines for their opening and closing credits.
Mm-hmm. On Doctor Who?
Well, no, just on
BBC. It's on BBC.
Yeah, BBC in general.
Yeah, BBC standard is you look at what, and it's different than American structure, but we've seen that a lot. We saw that, when did we start seeing that stuff going away? I mean, it was probably...
There are opening show credits.
10 years ago, we started really seeing them dropping that out?
Actually, it was within the last 8 years. I think the biggest push was on CBS, because the primary executive there says he wanted to be known as the person that killed the opening sequence. You know what we really need, though, is more of the police squad standard. where they show you the title and they tell you the title. They're two different titles.
The old Jack Webb thing.
Okay, hold on. Turn to the person next to you who is possibly older. And ask them what police squad is, because
maybe it's kind of sad, maybe say it? Naked Gun.
I can't. Well, you guys are all younger than I am.
But that's
not by much.
But police squad was actually in the 60s, though.
Yeah,
and it was where was it, the 70s?
Police squad. The original police squad was, I think, late 60s, early 70s.
And then
police. No, Naked it was Gun. Police. No, it was Police Story.
Police Story was
Police Story right. was the straight one, right. And then Naked Gun came from
Naked Cop.
Naked
police
Gun
squad.
Was the movies.
Right. Yeah, but that came from Police Squad.
Police Squad was the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, it was the 80s. Okay.
Yeah, it was the 80s.
It was the 80s.
Speaking of the 80s.
What, 6 episodes? It wasn't even very long.
Yeah, it didn't last very long.
Okay.
Speaking of the 80s. We're nowhere near the 80s. and neither is the show that we're talking about.
No.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the bulk of the story, to break it up so I could take control of the conversation.
Good luck.
He likes to think he's in control.
Well, that's why
Silly
I'm sitting
guy.
Behind the big desk.
We always let him think that.
I will cut your mic.
So the episode tonight, we've got a couple of things going on. We have Alicia, the metahuman who can split herself in twain, coming to Coulson, saying, "Hey, I want to help bring some of our people in because our people are in danger from this guy that's running around killing people." Coulson, of course, working with Rosalind now. They're on a first-name basis.
They've been on a first-name basis.
Well, define work together. They're kind of shaky.
Well, they're either going to end up the best of friends or they're going to end up completely hating each other. And I don't know.
I don't know which.
I guess they could have a healthy respect and animosity at the same time, especially if it turns out that she's Abigail Brand. Mm-hmm. And we get Sword out of this, which I'm really hoping that we do.
I do, too.
But, so they've got at least a truce where they're starting to work together to track down those who have turned. I find it interesting that that's what they're calling it now. It's like they're vampires or something.
Yes.
You know? He's turned. But, yeah, so we've got Alicia coming in and meeting a couple of throwaway Inhumans, red shirts.
Yeah, they really are.
I mean, we get their names, but we see a little bit of their power when Lash shows up. But that's all there is.
I didn't see what the female's power.
Her arms
was.
Got.
Oh, that's right. They got long and red, fire hot.
Her power is dying.
Yeah. Well, that's not a power.
And he could levitate. We saw him levitate, but I don't know what else he was doing. So Lash shows up. He's killing people, and we turned out that there was an email that got sent to a number of the
Inhumans.
I guess we'll call them Prime Inhumans rather than the Fish Inhumans.
Right, because these are folks who had already been Inhuman.
The natural ones.
Right.
So this email apparently also had within it a virus by which Lash was able to track them.
Although curiously,
locate them.
They described it as being the virus turning their computers into
mush or
mush
something.
Or yeah. You're messing them up.
Right.
Which you'd think they would have, would you think they would have noticed?
Well, it depends on how they mess it up. On an operating system, if you just start screwing around with whether it's the registry or the kernel, or depending on what operating system.
But she made it pretty clear that there's like it really screwed up the computers, in which case you don't have it at home. You take it to the computer shop to get it fixed.
Well, I wonder if that's something that happens when the virus gets found. Maybe.
Self-destruct.
Possibly. Yeah, could be.
Yeah,
but
it could be, you know.
But they weren't clear about that.
But they weren't. They also didn't really have much
public
identity. They were kind of laying low, so they probably didn't have all the email and social network and all that stuff. They probably didn't,
Well, they got the email.
Well, they got the email.
They got the email, and it had the virus in it.
And they were working. Right. They were working.
Yeah, they had jobs.
They didn't say where they worked, but they said they hadn't missed any work in the last 18 months.
But they're probably not heavy emailers. That's
model
C.
No, because they did say that they were laying low. Regardless,
they got found, and they got killed.
Yep. Right.
And Lash apparently has been working with a computer programmer who designed the virus through which they're locating the natural in humans. So this guy turned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fry.
Yeah. He's a fish in human. and his power is that he's allergic to Inhumans. He lights up, I guess, the rash, migraines.
Right, migraines
and rash.
Skin rash. So whenever an Inhuman is anywhere close to him, he breaks out in hives and migraines. So so ATCU is transporting him, and Lash attacks, kills him. Daisy sees him. This is what I thought was the interesting part. Is
he does not go after her.
He doesn't go after her, but what he says to Fry right before he kills him, he says, "I'm not doing this. What was it? I'm not being merciful. This is not necessary.
Yeah.
Right."
Mm-hmm. And he sees it as something that he has to do. It's not something that he's wanting to do. But then we turn around and Daisy sees him transform we see it in shadow.
Yeah. He's someone very small.
He's not all dreadlocks and massive monster all the time. He can revert to normal human form.
But he didn't even look like a normal size human. He looked even scrawnier than
a shadow.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
I know, but you would have thought he would be more like max size.
It was a CG shadow. Well, now wait a minute. Consider Banner, Banner and the Hulk.
Yeah,
the Hulk is 10 feet tall. Bruce Banner is what, 5'8", 5'10", maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Or however tall Ruffalo is. But when Norton played him, Norton's not a big hulky strapping guy. He's kind of scrawny.
I know. I was just surprised.
You're expecting something different.
What are you knocking over there?
I didn't touch anything. I think that was the dog.
Blame the dog.
Yeah,
nice
the
job.
Dog. All right. Okay. So there's that. There's
last week it was coffee.
May and Hunter.
Yep.
Working together to move Hunter up the food chain.
And kind of in a triangle with Andrew, because Andrew, her ex-husband, is being tailed, followed by
Baby Strucker.
And turns out May comes back.
Yeah.
Because she knows that Hunter's in over his head. So she comes back to S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. And Coulson's like, "Hey, you're back."
Yeah.
She's like, "No, I'm not."
only kind of sorta.
Yeah.
I'm here to get more help.
basically, she's like, "Yeah, Hunter's going to screw this up. We need to be there to backstop him." And they get in there.
How was she able to follow him? I mean, he was in the boot of the car.
They don't actually say, but I would imagine this is S.H.I.E.L.D. after all. There's a lot of different ways you could set up tracking.
I would imagine that Hunter's got a little hand-wavium device that allows
like under his skin.
It's a little
something
tag.
Something that they wouldn't be able to
find. It's entirely possible. It, you know,
well, they did it to Lincoln.
Right.
Yeah.
Without him knowing.
Good point.
Hunter's plan really.
What plan?
Well,
there wasn't a.
No, he had a. He
that
had a,
wasn't really a plan.
No, there's a plan. It's just a bad plan.
Yeah.
And it really was a very, very poorly.
His plan was that Ward wasn't going to be the director.
Well, there is that because, you know, Ward is up until this point, everybody has known Ward as he's a drone. He's
right.
He's a team player. He's the one who goes out and does things for others.
Whoa. But, No,
for himself, but under others.
No.
In his direction.
In his time in disguise on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did you miss last season? Because that's not at all what he was doing the entirety of last season. He was out on his own.
Killing people.
He had 33 with him.
Yeah, but he wasn't in charge. He wasn't in charge of any organization.
Well,
no,
it was just him.
Right, but thinking of him as a drone, thinking of him as someone who's working, who's established as working for somebody else. No, that's completely not at all what they're
expecting. Well, you wouldn't expect him to be in charge of the entire thing.
He's basically a loose cannon unless he decides otherwise.
Right, but the thing is that to think that somehow he would not be part of the new Hydra or built in at some place other than level.
That's not what I said. Okay. I said you wouldn't expect him to be the director, charge.
But it doesn't matter where he is in the organization. It's a terrible plan.
Because he didn't have enough information. He didn't know where he was going to see Ward. He didn't know
Ward is in the organization. He goes in half-cocked because he wants to get this all done before Bobby gets back in the field.
Yes, so he's going in without a plan.
Yeah, he's not being rational.
So this is basically season one tradecraft level.
Yeah.
It's just really, really poor tradecraft.
First half of season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, mid-season one, because mid-season one was when we were treading water and doing nothing.
Oh, we were treading water the entire first half of the season, I thought.
Well, the first two episodes I thought were good on the first season.
I could play back our discussions about how stereotypical and one-dimensional all the characters were. Do you remember having that conversation years ago?
I remember hearing you say ad nauseum that Ward's hair didn't move.
It didn't, and it still hasn't.
it's one of those things. First season, they were still trying to establish, and the characters themselves hadn't been established yet.
Right. I saw an interview with Jeff Loeb and Clark Gregg out of New York Comic Con here this past weekend. Comic Book Resources was talking to them, and they said even back that far into the first season, knowing that they couldn't say Hydra, but even going back that far, all of the stuff that we saw as treading water
and was actually setting it up
was actually part of the plan to set up the whole back half of the reveal. Once they could say Hydra, there always had been a plan from the very beginning. I still think that's a company line.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
But you know, there's got to be something to that because, you know, Captain America was already in production when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started. So
they had to know what was going on. I'm sure that that's true, that they were setting it up and blah, blah, blah. But then they should have come up with better stories while we were waiting.
That needs to be our next podcast.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. The blah, 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 blah show.
And what are we going to talk about? It's just all digression.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
That's what we do. We just pull all the digression into the blah, blah, blah show. And the rest of these shows can focus a little bit more.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more because we haven't gotten into Fitz and Simmons yet.
No.
So we'll get into that. We'll get into Baby Strucker a little bit more. And
Bobby.
A little bit on Bobby. When Level 117 continues right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Podcasting is our superpower. This is Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
There are plenty of places to get your genre news. We get that. Which is why we go visit those places for you. And then we bring it all back here so it's all in one handy little place. Sci-Fi for Me is your one-stop shop for everything genre.
Comic books, video games, TV, movies, the latest best-selling novels. Join us as we delve into the many story universes over a nice cup of coffee. We've got everything you need, all in one place. SciFiForMe.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
All right, you all listening to Level 117, you are no doubt true believers of some stripe, as are we, and some of you are probably even fans of the Distinguished Competition. So, now that the first wave of DC Comics television shows are on the air, it's time to talk about them. Our new DC TV podcast, we call it The Rogues Gallery, and you can hear that same place you hear everything else, right here on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon. Or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton. Shirts and art for fans by fans.
And now, back to Level 117, the only 100% Hydra-free podcast on the internet. Hail Hydra.
You're right there?
Uh-huh.
Okay, back on Level 117 here on Sci-Fi From Your Radio. Jason Hunt here along with Maya Aides, yep. Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
Dan Handley.
Hello.
We are talking Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and if you have an opinion on anything that we say, if you want to scream at us a little bit, you can call our hotline, 573-42-SCI-FI, or shoot us an email, level117@scififorme.com. And we will respond as appropriate. So
appropriate. What's this appropriate? What you're talking
well,
about.
Well, you know, every now and again, yes. We will get a comment on one of our videos on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh well.
That is
not appropriate.
No, no, and you know, okay, YouTube, so. YouTube is...
Have you met the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yes.
For all...
And I would very much love to get rid of it, but, you know...
I've seen things on Twitter and that I can't unsee.
There's only so much you could scrub your eyes, but...
I know.
I know.
And
the
I'm
internet
not
is just...
young or...
Yeah.
Particularly
that
naive.
Naive?
Right, so...
But I was still like, oh, my God. Yikes.
Well, yeah. Yeah. The internet is not a place you want to go without wrapping yourself in plastic or something.
The problem is the internet is that
gallon size of hand sanitizer.
You honestly just can't go, I need an adult. Because unfortunately, some of these people are biologically,
adult.
You know, chronologically adult.
Yeah, they're adults, but they're not grown-ups.
Right.
Yeah.
So luckily, we don't get that kind of reaction from... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. online too
no.
much.
And really, for the most part, most of the people who give us any kind of comments or feedback or anything like that are generally, you know,
pretty considerate
and smart, and, you know, they think what they think before they speak.
They have working brain cells.
Yeah, so far, so good.
Yeah.
So,
that's super
but
awesome.
No, but YouTube's a different world.
I know.
I think all you have to do is scroll down any doesn't matter what it is.
Well, look at some of the comments.
Fluffy, you know, it's a
put
video of fluffy bunnies
topic.
Just
yes.
walking along.
But
and like,
look at some of the comments on the Stephen Amell panel video from ours.
Oh yeah.
Well,
I watched the video, but I didn't look at the comments.
Well, the comments, I mean, none of them are really bad.
Okay.
You know, we've gotten worse ones on the panel video from Ming-Na.
Oh.
Because, you know, she's 53 and she's hot and some, you know, it's YouTube. So, but anyway, yeah, speaking of Ming-Na and such,
yep.
she's back in full form almost, not quite full form tonight.
Yeah.
With
Hunter better hope that he didn't screw up.
Oh, I know. Although he probably did.
Well, no.
She
thinks he did. At least that look says she thinks he did.
Well, because the confusing thing here is that she knows he did not have a plan or a
right.
good plan.
Right.
And she went along with this not good plan.
Yep.
And
she felt like she could stop him.
I'm surprised she didn't call Coulson sooner.
Well, okay. So, all right. Some of this stuff was very much hand of the writer.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
To get the confrontation between...
Hunter
and Ward and May. I mean, it's kind of very much a, you know,
We need to go from point A to B to C in order to get to D by this time.
Yeah, so somewhere in the middle we have May actually leaving where Hunter is and going back to S.H.I.E.L.D. HQ. They have this thing called a phone. And I'm pretty sure that if May calls, Coulson's going to pick up. There was literally no reason for her to be there.
Right.
Aside from the fact that we could then get the confrontation, the physical confrontation, the physical space interaction.
Yeah. Face to face.
Between her and Coulson and her and Andrew.
Yep.
So it is, it's one of those things where, and you guys remember when we were watching the episode, I sat there and went, why is she here?
Why is she not with Hunter?
It is a doppelganger of some sort.
So it's just, I mean,
that would have been convenient, actually.
Yeah. It becomes one of these things where you look at it and go, I hate it when I can see the hand of the writer anyway. Yeah. But but S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. unfortunately has a bit of a track record with every now and again going, "Hi there, I'm the writer, and I'd like to show you my hand."
Although they've gotten better about
they
that.
They have, but so when these things come along, they're pretty
glaring.
It's pretty obvious. Yeah.
Well, to Hunter's credit, he did shoot Ward. Granted, it's probably not a lethal shot.
Yeah.
It's not a lethal shot, but he did get him.
Now, one thing to consider, and I don't know if this factors into it or not, because I don't know where they started, but Hunter's in the trunk of a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's traveling wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the point where May comes back to S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters.
Yeah. No, presumably.
No.
She was
he got in the trunk.
Yes.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She came and left before the whole trunk incident. She had to, it because there is no way she would have made it, been able to follow otherwise.
So conveniently.
Well, actually, she has superpowers.
She was able to get there, and again, hand of the writer. She got there, was able to get him back up on her own versus S.H.I.E.L.D. with the cool jet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now let me.
Which was 20 minutes out.
Let me.
They're using the Walking Dead map.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're swing by Georgia, ask Rick where to find it.
Exactly. It's kind of like, it's kind of like Harry Potter's got that map.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Walking Dead map. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, the Walking Dead map completely erases all the borders. Does away with all the towns.
Can you see the landmarks?
Nothing.
You see the footprints with the name of who's walking around?
No. The Walking Dead map is a square.
Oh.
It's an empty square. It's an empty box. And somewhere in there is where you are.
Yeah. Because if there's one thing The Walking Dead has established over the course of its run, is that they don't know how to use time or distance.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, tonight, this was a question of time and distance, and neither of them made any sense.
Right.
Yeah, because there was not enough time for... If May could get to and from headquarters in that amount of time, however, I don't know that she's got a Quinjet at her disposal.
As far as I'm aware, she does not.
Yeah, and then after she leaves, they put a tech team together and load up on a plane, and they still have 20 minutes.
Okay, you want to talk about another time?
Did she teleport?
Yeah.
Well, you got to think she's a mutant. Just don't tell Fox.
What about Bobby's? Bobby was working out. She's rehabbing. She talks to Gemma, right? Am I missing the timeline? And then somehow she's out there to see the twin jet being loaded up.
Well, okay, but there's an implied passage of time, but we don't get a sense of how long that passage of time is.
Yeah, right. it throws the whole thing off a little
bit.
It's
confusing, actually. Very confusing.
Bobby walking out into the hangar didn't bother me so much because, you know, she's there. I mean, she's going to walk out and say, "Hey, what's going on?" I don't expect anybody's going to tell her.
No.
Because she's going to want to go.
Yep.
And that does come after she sits there and says, "I've got a vibe. Something's not right."
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she does.
Mm-hmm.
Her interaction with Simmons.
Let's be honest. If it's Hunter involved, it's kind of a given, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But her interaction with Simmons was pretty interesting tonight because it was because Simmons has been taking a bunch of notes.
Mm-hmm.
Fitz found them. about getting back to the planet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about the where those notes were at the. So when you got the thing you don't want anybody to see in the room with the most number of people. In milling about.
It's mm-hmm. called being hidden in plain sight.
It's called...
Stupid.
Hi there, I'm the writer. This is my hand.
And it was, well, it was hidden... Well, it was basically inside of a basic shield binder, and it was just, it's just that Fitz noticed it was just out of place.
Well, but the thing is that he...
It's a three-ring binder. That's looked, well hidden, isn't
it? He looked at the desk, he saw the binder, he picked it up and opened it.
Yeah,
this was not hidden. This was, I mean, it's,
it was
it's,
right there.
And for somebody who for somebody who is reacting the way that she is, and there's a lot of different reasons that Jimmy could be reacting the way she is. And next week we get to find out what those are.
Maybe
theoretically,
some of them,
hopefully,
some of them,
some.
I bet not all.
But if you're really that concerned with hiding things from people, you don't leave your notes.
Yeah, I would expect something like that would be in her room,
right?
Not out
like
in
where
the lab.
She ended it, putting it later underneath right. her.
Yeah.
Cover
so,
it.
But again, it advances the story. It moves yes. things along.
Yeah.
Unless it was just some absent-mindedness.
Well, and it
out,
does, but, and it actually moves yeah. things along in two different fronts. Not only does it get us closer to the whole what happened to her mm-hmm. story,
right.
but it also advances the Fitz and Simmons storyline with the mm-hmm. I want to take care of you. I love you. I want to make sure that you're okay and you're keeping things from me. And why do we need to go back? And now that's the setup for her to tell him next week what happened
right.
on the planet Purple. And so we're going to get a flashback episode next week.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. I love flashback episodes. Oh wait. No, I don't.
I have a favorite moment from this week.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
When Ward is monologuing and Hunter is trying to interrupt him, he goes, "Stop. Don't interrupt me."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I was like, I wanted him to say, "I'm monologuing."
Yeah. Well, whenever you have banter between the villain and the hero, it's got to be done right or it just doesn't work at all. Mm-hmm. You know, it falls flat on so many shows. This episode tonight got it.
Yeah,
I'd say
pretty good.
You know, 90% right.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
You know who really does really well with the banter is the Flash. You get mm-hmm. Leonard Snart and Barry Allen together. I love Snart. I love Leonard Snart. He is just such a great villain because. He knows he's a villain. He fully embraces it. He's like, yeah, but he's a gentleman. You know, he's just, you know, well, he's the scoundrel. And he
well,
knows
and
it.
The banter between Rosalind and Coulson is
yeah,
actually pretty
works.
Good.
Yeah,
I
mean,
but see,
I like
Coulson's
that.
Good at banter.
As long as it's not like some James Bond villain thing where he thinks he has a hero where he wants him. All right, I'm going to tell you everything that I'm going to do.
Yeah, but still, mm-hmm. one of the best villain lines of all time will always be, "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we kind of, I don't know, we didn't really get one line like that between Coulson and Rosalind tonight. We got a series. We had a number of different points in their mm-hmm. interaction back and forth, where it's like they're either going to like each other or they're going to end up trying to kill each other.
Uh-huh.
Which is it?
Interestingly enough, there was a vibe here when we're talking about the relationship between May and Andrew. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really talked about, you know, Baby Strucker and Andrew seeing that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Right.
Is that... Whatever happened between the two of them, there's always been this interesting chemistry between May and Coulson that has always had a, I don't want to say necessarily a sexual undercurrent.
But it has been.
But an emotional undercurrent that is stronger than we're friends.
Yeah.
That's the way it's read, right?
They love each other in some way.
Right.
Yeah. It's not quite sexual undertones, but it's
there's
something
there. Yeah. So the interesting dynamic that played into tonight's too when May came back.
Mm-hmm. And she had both men there in the same hallway.
And she was talking about how it wasn't Andrew, it was her. And there that it came but then that moment it felt very much more like May was not saying the thing that she, you know.
Well, I took that to mean because May left Andrew after Bahrain. And I took that to mean, when she said that tonight, I took that to mean that after Bahrain, she was so messed up, she couldn't maintain a relationship. So I don't know that there was a Coulson element in her decision
I don't know either. No. But the thing is that tonight it played very much like there was some sort of, there was an emotional connection that we were getting more of.
Right.
Then,
I'd like to know where Andrew disappeared to.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, we're going to get that information.
What do you mean where he disappeared to?
Well, because he left when they were, when they, the two of them had went off to.
They went to Hawaii.
And then he disappeared. He went off somewhere. And that was the reason that she's upset with him, is because he left. Mm. And
yeah, and he was, you know, that's why he was falling all over himself tonight trying to apologize to her, is because he left.
Okay.
And didn't call her, or didn't write, didn't send flowers, didn't send a telegram.
He was getting training because he was going to go back to working for S.H.I.E.L.D., and so he was going to have to brush up on his training, his self-defense training.
Self-defense thing, probably.
Yeah, it turns out he needs it.
But yep. What I really want is
what you really, really want?
No.
Tell me what you want.
What you really, really want.
Okay, that's enough.
Yeah. Sorry. Small digression. Movie came out on video. Ex-girlfriend at the time had kids. I was forced to actually watch that film on the couch with two teenage girls, and it does not make it any better when you're sitting with the target audience. But I digress. I want May and Rosalind in the same room with Coulson.
Oh,
I want to see that dynamic. Yes. I want to see how that plays, because Daisy's already, you know, poking Coulson with a stick about the chemistry between him and Rosalind.
Right.
I want to see when May's in that mix, because think that could be like...
Now, do you think that May would do the same kind of poking that Daisy's doing, or do you think May would sit there and be shooting daggers at Rosalind?
I think she's going to be shooting daggers.
Yeah, but then I think as soon as she's left the room, she's going to be like, "What? Yeah. What are you doing?"
Yeah, she'd be on Coulson for rolling over so much.
Yeah, I think that would be, well, May would have more of a problem with the cooperation between the two groups rather than Coulson and Rosalind. Daisy's picking at Coulson and Rosalind.
Well, no, you know, she's also picking
nudge,
at the
nudge,
at
wink,
the
wink.
At, well, no, but she's also picking at him for the cooperation that's going on, and she's saying we're not getting enough in return.
Right, but she's seeing Coulson giving in to Rosalind because Coulson's got a thing for Rosalind.
Yes, that's why she's accusing him of giving those concessions.
May would come in and say,
"This makes
you're
no
compromising
sense.
Our security."
Right,
you know, it wouldn't have anything to do with personal relationships.
And it's clear that Coulson just has a thing for her car.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean,
clearly.
I have a thing for her car.
It's a good car. It's a nice car.
It wasn't in the show tonight. I was disappointed.
But does it fly like it doesn't fly
well, it does not appear to fly at this time.
No, so far, no.
But that would be funny if she shows up and it does fly, and he's like, hang on. So
I thought I had the only one.
It's a dynamic I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be for what.
And it's inevitable that they're going to be in the same room
right.
at some
point.
There is
a certain element of them playing the sexual teasing angle between Coulson and Rosalind. Mm-hmm. That's obviously there in the writing. But, yeah, it should be fun. So, Andrew...
Yeah, anybody want to speculate what happened or didn't happen?
Well, basically, you know, what we have here is Baby Stricker and company go after Andrew, because that's the this is how Ward is going to get the May and Hunter off his back.
Right. Yep. They're in a standoff, and Ward throws his phone out onto the floor and reveals that he's got people surrounding Andrew.
Actually, he doesn't reveal that. All he shows is Andrew's face on the camera.
Right. But where's the camera?
Right.
It's on a guy. He's got, I've got guys. I can call them off, but I'm not gonna unless you leave.
Right.
So
basically we have Baby Stricker show up with these guys and gasoline and a lighter, and they're going to kill Andrew. Now, we are left with a very curious shot at the end of the episode where we see feet. Don't see Andrew.
No.
We
see a pool of blood.
We don't know whose feet they are.
Right. No. So we have blood. We have a body lying on the ground. We have gasoline.
And
explosion.
And then baby Stricker running away, looking very very scared. And I don't think Andrew's dead.
No,
I don't think so either.
It's so done to make you think he is. Yeah, and this shot is done in a way that is too obvious.
Yeah,
that they really want you to think that Andrew's dead, but not really.
But they didn't show you enough, which is why we don't think it is him.
And there's a couple of reasons so you can get around this pretty easily. One is that just because you're a psychiatrist, you're working, doesn't mean you're not a trained agent.
Right.
If I were a SHIELD psychiatrist, I would be probably, well, by, okay. If
he,
okay.
He was married to Melinda May.
Well, yeah, there's,
to be able to handle that.
Leaving aside that, if you are a psychiatrist to a organization where you routinely deal with agents who may be traumatized by the battlefield, you may want to be in a position to defend yourself should one of them have a freak-out moment.
Well, and now, given the fact that he's evaluating inhumans
for
the purpose of deciding if they're going to be Secret Warriors team members or not, in the course of that process, you could get one of these that freaks out, can't handle it. And
Chris, I don't know that there's really anything you can do. If they're inhuman and they have powers, how are you going to, depends on the powers.
But you're gonna at least have a baseline of self-defense.
I think that's what I think, too.
And I think that basically baby Stricker, got cocky, as all baby Strickers do.
okay, how many are you thinking there are?
In the comic books?
Is it like... There's
a long history in Marvel Comics of the children of villains showing up, and usually
we're going to get that in Civil War too with Baron Zemo.
And I think there's a whole lot of butts getting handed to them, usually because they do come in cocky, and usually the next time they show up, they're a lot more prepared to be horrible villains, but there's at least one issue where it's like, I am the heir to the, and somebody
do
goes,
do you know who I am?
Like, yeah, whatever. Smack.
Yeah.
Go to your room.
So, I don't think that Andrew's dead.
I don't
but
either.
May is going to be
thinking she's dead.
Justifiably dead. Unhappy with Hunter.
Understatement of the night.
And at some point, someone should have the conversation with Hunter where he basically, is pointed out that A, he had a terrible plan.
Yes.
And B, that he probably shouldn't go around doing things that are going to potentially get people killed. Going, nah, I got to take the shot. I got to do the thing.
He's gonna get his comeuppance, I think, in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there'll be some,
Because next week, we get the Simmons flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a bulk of the episode.
Yeah. Oh, I would have
probably.
Did you guys read up? Do you know what else we're expecting?
No.
Because I didn't.
Just the planet purple.
Why do you call it planet purple?
Because it's purple.
See,
kind of bluish, but whatever.
Okay.
It's purple. All right, fine. It's blue. Whatever.
Hopefully there'll be some kind of healing between Fitz and Simmons, because I really liked it when they clicked as one.
Yeah,
and
when they were kind of one.
And while I love the whole drama that some's come between them, they didn't let anything heal before they had something else come between them, and so on and so forth.
They have been like a classic, one's doing okay, then the other one's doing okay. They have not clicked together for a long time.
I know. They should at least let that click together a little bit before they throw something else in.
They can never seem to get it together. Poor guys. Feel bad for them.
You're supposed to.
Oh, okay. Well, I do.
Yeah.
Successful. Great success.
They're cute and adorable, and you just want to take them home and put them on a shelf. And
You sound like the collector.
I have a confession to make.
Oh!
Maybe that's who was after her.
Where do you hide Howard the Duck? That's what.
Yeah.
You don't hide Howard the Duck. You put him right out front. And then people ask you about the foul-mouthed duck who's smoking his cigar in front of you, and then you have a fun story to tell.
Oh, very, about very good. Yeah.
George Lucas and where things went all went wrong.
yeah.
Well, and you know, it's curious because we've gotten just enough hints about the planet, and the implication is that she's been alone, but things have been chasing her. So I'm very curious to see what the reason she has to go back.
Yeah, well.
Aside from maybe feeling not comfortable here anymore.
Well, that doesn't... Well, but she didn't look... The glimpses that we got of her on the other planet, she didn't look very comfortable there either.
Well, we get to find out how she... At least how she survived.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
Bustle.com. I've never heard of this before, but it turned up on a search engine. They have theories as to why Gemma Simmons might
Hang
be
on.
Wanting to...
You found theories about things on the internet.
I had
no idea you could do this. Is there a way to hunt for theories about things on the internet?
You know, I think there's something... Oh, what was it? What was it Doctor Who did last week with the bootstrap theory? Yes, Google it.
Google it.
I hate when shows do that because it automatically dates it.
Oh, that's true.
Because
at
some point, Google's going to be gone. It'll be Skynet. Right.
Okay.
We won't be allowed to talk about Skynet.
Well, you know, won't be Skynet because Skynet is so 80s.
Yeah, coming back. Fashion. Yes,
but, you know, how many reboots and remakes from the 80s are we dealing with right now? So it'll right in there.
Apparently, we're not getting a sequel to Terminator Genesis anytime soon because
Because what?
Oh, because it did very poorly.
Oh.
Ant-Man, however, doing really well in China.
Oh, yeah.
It's
nice.
Doing gangbusters in China.
Congratulations.
46 million, I think, on the first weekend?
Yeah, something like that. It did really well in China.
Yep.
So, theories at bustle.com.
Yes.
I, you know, take this for a grain of salt. Or
with
take
a grain of salt?
With a grain of salt.
Thank all you. The grains, all the salt.
For what it's
make
worth.
It, make good grains of salt, too.
I don't know anything about this website. So.
Okay.
All right. First theory, why she wants to go back. These are theories on why she wants to go back to the planet. She might have powers.
She didn't look like it. But okay.
The next theory, she's probably not a pod person, meaning maybe she's not our Gemma. Maybe she's a copy or a duplicate or a clone or a shapeshifter or whatever. In an interview with Entertainment Tonight, Elizabeth Hensford says, as far as I know, it's Simmons. She's definitely changed, but this is her. So she's not... As far as anybody knows, as far as she's been told, she's still actually playing the same character that she was
originally.
Yeah. Next theory, she might need to return for someone.
That was my theory.
Maybe she wants to rescue someone. Maybe there's other survivors on the planet, other prisoners or whatever. She might need to return for something. Maybe she found something on that planet. They do point out that she had a wound on her forehead, you know, when she was covering it with the mud, whatever she was tracking her was tracking her by her blood, I think.
That was the implication.
That was our theory then, yeah.
Well, they're wondering if maybe the planet's soil, maybe the planet itself might have healing properties of some sort. Maybe she discovered something that we've got to go back and get it because...
As great as that is, would be, I don't think that would be reason for her to want to go back to a place where things are trying to kill her.
Probably not, but how many scientific discoveries were made at great risk to life and limb?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get the results you need. I don't know.
The John Wayne theory of science?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Pilgrim.
Or maybe she hasn't earned, she hasn't done everything she needed to get her Interplanetary Survival Merit Badge.
Okay.
You know, actually. You need to have that merit badge. I mean, honestly, if you're gonna be fighting the Kree and things like that. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Exactly,
right.
Yes.
Right.
So
right.
I'm looking at screenrant.com, and they've got some questions about this planet theories. Because we know that the monolith is a portal.
Right.
We know it's a Kree device. They're looking at Marvel Comics as a reference point to see what are the different possibilities for what this planet could be. They're thinking maybe it's a version of Stockade, which is a prison planet from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Anovol 14, known as the toughest penal colony in the universe, appeared in Silver Surfer Volume 3, Number 74.
So again, another prison type thing.
Well, yeah,
If it's tied to Silver Surfer, though, that's going to be a fox.
Yeah, that's not going to be that wouldn't be a possibility. An extension of the Kiln, a prison base run by the Nova Corps.
Another prison.
Yeah.
So these are all prison theories.
Well, that's some, but there's other theories that I've seen that it's a moon of the Kree homeworld.
That's not a moon.
I didn't see any trenches. But yeah, there's that theory, and I can't remember the name of it, but the moon of the Kree homeworld, apparently, I think in the comic books, and Tim, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I am, that this place was where Inhumans were put, and again, prison, stash them away if they're mistakes or errors in the experiment.
It's sort of their version of Australia.
Yeah, it's a Botany Bay planet.
Yeah, see how well that turned out?
Both times.
Yeah.
God!
Don't name things Botany Bay. This is the lesson to learn.
Really.
And if you're going to send people to a continent that is designed to kill them, and they don't die, that's where you go make your movies.
Why do we think that Simmons wants to go back?
I still think that there is someone there that she is desperate to go back and save. I think it's people-ish.
If it was one person,
yeah,
there would not be this lag time. I don't think it's people, and if it is people, then I want an explanation as to why she's been essentially twiddling her thumbs. Well, because this is, I mean, if you're
well,
going...
Well, they broke the portal,
well, but
so...
No, but if you're going to go back and save somebody...
It
if
would be
goal
an immediate,
is,
we have to go back now and
yeah,
save someone.
This
so why has she been unwilling to share that?
Right. And this is the kind of thing where you go to Coulson and say, there are people we have to save, we've got to get back there.
I need resources.
And this, we have not had that. So if that is what happens, I'm going to be... a titch annoyed, because it doesn't seem like it would be in character.
No. Well, but it's the only thing that I can come up with that seems a big enough draw, a big enough pull or whatever for her to feel like she needs to go back. Otherwise, why risk life and limb, literally?
Well, that's a very good question. And
what if she found an Infinity Stone?
Would she know what one was?
Yeah, how would she know what it is?
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's a glowy stone that
it's pretty.
Does something.
It's pretty.
Maybe she encountered one. She doesn't know exactly what it is, but she knows that it's got something.
But that's
maybe
a reason.
There's still two left.
Okay, but again,
that's still a reason to try to go back.
I think it's a little too early to start revealing the last two stones.
The issue I have with the whole thing is that if there's this urgency, I have to get back, and it's tied into a person or a thing or something that she has to save. We haven't had that sense of urgency. We haven't had that sense of I mean.
Well, she was disoriented for a long time after they brought her back,
which would be exactly when you would turn to someone and say, "I have to get back." So I think it's
notice on the previews that she was drawn. Pulled under that water or whatever that pond was.
Yeah.
So
she has a pet.
Come along, Pom. Oh,
there
she's
we go.
Been missing a pet, and
she's got a tag in her. She's like chipped, like my dogs are chipped, you know. And she the chip will explode if she doesn't make it back. Wait, that's the urgency thing again.
I don't know. I mean, it's it almost like.
Maybe there's some sort of a craving that she's like a drug type of
she
thing.
She left the gas on. She, now there'd be more urgency.
Yeah.
I don't, part of me wonders if it isn't some sort of physical thing where she just physically, something happened that made her.
She just feels off here and needs to go back there.
Physically adapted to that world, and that this is, she just doesn't feel right.
Well, maybe trying to survive gave her such an adrenaline rush that she doesn't get that anymore.
Well, and she really, I'm
take up skydiving.
I do. I kind of wish we weren't seeing this, because we do see it all the time on shows like this, where you have the very, very intelligent person who knows better, who is blatantly ignoring the sensible thing to do and talking about what's bothering them. And you are given,
where they won't do the smart thing.
You are given a trained psychiatrist who you know is extremely good at their job and who is there to help you, and you do not talk to them. And this is standard. This is TV storytelling 101.
Well, realistically,
it's cliche 101.
Realistically, it does match quite a bit.
Well, except she actually has medical training. She knows better.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
And she
is
also
the medic person.
And so
have you ever known any doctors who refuse to go to a doctor about
certain
things?
Yeah, yeah.
But exactly. But you know what? This is the problem is that not that it happens, it's that this is what always happens. This is TV stock
sort
behavior.
Sort of shortcut, yeah.
It's cliché. It's very cliched. It's very tropey. And it's pause long enough to get to the scene where we dig the do big reveal thing. I'm a huge fan of therapy. I've been 5 years happy to have had it, but it's a standard thing. It's a very standard. No, I'll deal with it on my own. Oh, for the love of God, you why are you stupid? You know, and.
Well, a lot of times, even if you get your smarter people, think that they can handle it on their own too.
Well, and I think that's a part of it. But the problem, again, it's this thing. This is what we always see.
So it's being like, the stoic, and you don't like the stoic.
I don't mind the stoic. I don't mind the stoic. I just, it's predictable.
It is predictable.
Well, predictable, but prideful as well.
Yeah, but like I said, it's what we always
it's
see.
Just overdone.
It's way overdone. Yeah. You never see someone going, "Hi, I'm traumatized. I would like to see a therapist now," which people actually do. So that would be lovely to actually see someone going, "Hi,
I'm broken.
I'd like some help."
Yeah. The two stones that are still missing,
yes,
are soul and time. Uh-huh. Just throwing that out there.
Unless she breaks into song.
Well.
We get that musical episode.
If she was gone,
no.
Yeah, well, but if she was gone 6 months in our timeline, but she found the time stone and wasn't on that planet for 6 months, maybe she was there less time or more time.
And if we've got soul and timing, we've got our musical episode.
Yep.
Yeah. Jazz hands. You gotta have jazz hands.
Absolutely.
I got him.
Folks, what you can't see is all of us looking at Maya and all of us making that face that goes, "Stop that. Stop that. Don't do that anymore. Put your hands down. Well,
it's a scientific fact that jazz hands makes for better radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so what are we going to see next week?
Agents of
Gemma.
Shield.
We're gonna see Gemma on the planet.
Yeah.
And what?
How she survived. But
in the previews, we see her getting dragged underwater. We see her figuring out that she's got to find food.
She's building a fire.
She's trying. Fashions the weapon. You know, her stick, her pointy stick. Get your own pointy stick. Oh wait, wrong show.
Yeah.
That's when we get the Doctor Who crossover because
or you know where they shot that planet? At the rock quarry.
you realize that would also be a Monty Python crossover? Instead of attacking with fruit?
Oh, yeah. That would be really funny. Michelle Gomez walks by.
Comes around the hill. Yeah. Get your own.
Gemma just whacks her with a rock and takes her pointy stick.
So we now know where Missy ended up. She's on that planet.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, every show needs more Michelle Gomez. I think that would be that's just it's always a win when she shows up. But
well, I've heard speculation that they're still trying to figure out a spinoff for her.
Nice.
And maybe Maisie Williams' character becomes her sidekick, her companion.
Okay, so now we're just reaching. I think we're just really, really reaching.
Yeah, probably.
I love that the speculation is always fun.
But so one who can't die, the other one will try anything to see if she can.
Well, neither one of them can die, really.
No,
I mean, if you stop to think about it. Speaking of dying, we are, so we're done. Give us your speculations and your thoughts on what you think may happen in next week's show. What are we going to see on Planet Purple?
Why does Gemma need to get back?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Because I don't think we're going to get all the answers next week.
No.
We're not going to get that everything. If they
give us everything next week, that would be silly.
I think so.
We'll take a look at the next week's
But oddly title. Refreshing.
Just like, get it all in one self-contained episode. All the answers.
Although they brought us Gemma back from the whatever color planet within the second episode, and that surprised me. So,
well, it has surprised us, but it also told us that there was much more that was going to be in that arc from the get-go. So
here we go. It's 4,722 hours is the title of next week's episode.
Oh,
it's okay.
It's pretty specific there.
I would say that's, what, 6 months?
I'm guessing.
She would have started tracking it, and she figured out exactly how many hours it was.
Yeah.
How do you track an hour if you don't have a timepiece?
Count.
Oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of counting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been very interesting to see what you do with that plays out. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
Could be fun. All right, so give us your theories, give us your speculations, level1187@scififorme.com, or you can call our hotline, 573-42-SCIFI. That is also good for any feedback that you'd like to give us on this show. It's too long, not long enough. We digress just fine. We don't digress enough. We need to stay on topic more. Stay on target, stay on target. And let us know what you think about the direction Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going. And maybe at some point we bring back the Death Pool.
Mm. Ooh.
Maybe.
You better hurry up.
I don't get a sense that anybody's going to die yet.
Ward just got shot, so.
Yeah, I just don't get a sense that any of the regulars are going to die anytime soon.
No, I don't think so.
It feels like everybody's kind of in place, and here we go. So.
Although I got to say, I would have put Hunter on that list.
If maybe. Only he wasn't going off on his own spinoff.
Yeah.
Well, as I told you, it might have been Bobby and somebody else.
Defeats
well,
the sense of
so here's what we should probably do. We should put a poll together to see how many people out there think that Rosalind is actually Abigail Brand.
There you go.
All right. We'll think about that. Okay. So in the meantime, you can connect with us on the social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, Tumblr, and YouTube. And as always, you can find the latest headlines over at scififorme.com. That's going to do it for us this week. I want to thank my panel of Scooby Gang members here. Maya Aides.
Good night.
Timothy Harvey.
Good night.
Daniel Hanley.
Good night.
My name is Jason Hunt. For all of us here at Sci-Fi for Me, thanks very much for listening to this show. Don't forget to check out all of the other podcasts over at iTunes. Just look for Sci-Fi for Me Radio. And we will be back next week.
This has been a presentation of SciFiForMe.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.